It's crunch time in Olympia. The state legislature is headed toward a Wednesday 5 p.m. deadline to move the policy bills out of the House in which they originate. And next week, the state House of Representatives goes to what they call the three-minute rule. That's when debate is limited to 3 minutes per member per bill. The Northwest News Network's Austin Jenkins joins us with more about what's ahead, what's happening in the state capitol. Sounds like it's going to be like speed dating. 3 minutes? That's going to be hard for them.
It is hard for them. And the reason they do it is because this is when they get to the controversial bills that, you know, if the minority wants to wreak havoc, they can essentially, if they had unlimited time, filibuster. I mean, we don't hear about that in the context of the House very often, but that would be the idea. So limit the debate on the really controversial bills and keep things moving along. Somebody offered an interesting analogy about where we are in the process. And the House side, there's something like 20 policy committees. And so everything's moved through those policy committees and now is headed to the floor. Those are the, you know, the bills that will survive. And it's sort of like a funnel. And now what you have is all the lobbyists outside the doors of the chambers. I mean, constant din for like 12, 14 hours a day. And everybody's worried about their bill staying in queue, not dropping off the list. Or if you're trying to kill a bill, you want to make it go away.
Sure. And unlike previous years, we have these two, the House and the Senate, with different political leadership. Are we headed towards stalemate on these bills?
Well, this is going to be interesting in the coming weeks to see what happens. I mean, first off, keep in mind that most bills, by and large, are fairly bipartisan and non-controversial. I would expect to see that as they send bills to the other side, you know, those bills start to move. They'll get committee hearings in the opposite chamber, so to speak. But I think that you will see probably a lot of hostage taking, that the controversial proposals, let's take some of the education reform measures that passed off the Senate floor. Will they get courtesy hearings over on the House side? Will they just sit and wait to see what happens at the end? But I think that we might be heading into that portion of the stalemate portion of the legislature.
And these are extremely controversial. They never got a hearing before, but now with Republicans in charge, they are. One would assign letter grades to schools. Another would make it easier for the state to take over schools that are deemed failing. The teachers union, a big player in Olympia, has tweeted that these are bad bills. What's their fate?
Well, over in the House, maybe not terribly good. But again, in order to go home, the House and the Senate are going to have to find some compromise. And so if the Senate is insisting, this new majority coalition is insisting on some of these changes, for instance, the letter grades for schools, and the House is saying the first priority ought to be funding schools to a higher degree because of the Supreme Court's decision, that then you start to see some horse trading going on, I think. And so perhaps some of these policy changes will get through. There were some tweaks made to bring on some Democratic support to these measures. For instance, there's another bill, third grade retention, which started out as basically if your kid's not passing at third grade reading, you hold them back. Now it's there's an intervention approach. And the Democrats, you know, that was an amendment the Democrats got in there. And so I think you're starting to see some work to try to make this palatable, at least on the other side.
There are a few bills that have to do with elections. Tim Eymann's idea about having a longer period of time to gather signatures for initiatives has been out there. Is that going to proceed through the legislature or is that going to go to the ballot?
I still think it goes to the ballot. It's true that especially in the Senate, given the new majority, that there has been much more attention and interest paid to the citizen initiative process and how to expand it rather than restrict it. There have been a lot of proposals in recent years with Democrats in charge to restrict that process. Most of them don't go through. But my guess is specifically if this is a initiative to the legislature, that the legislature takes a pass ultimately and it goes to the public.
Also on elections, there's a Voting Rights Act and a law allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to pre-register to vote, but there's controversy around them. Why is that?
Both of these are controversial. The Voting Rights Act basically would allow in a, let's say, a city like Yakima where they do elect city council citywide, that basically people could go to court and try to force the city to start doing district-based elections to try to get more, in this case, Latino representation on the council. That is very controversial. It was proposed last year and didn't go through. And I imagine that you will see more opposition as it goes over to the Senate. Letting kids pre-register for voting is also controversial. That I know is something that the new Secretary of State, Kim Wyman, opposed on the campaign trail, saying that this just is too difficult, she said, for the county auditors to manage this. And basically, when you're 18, you can register, but to pre-register, people move. You know, that this is just going to be difficult from a paperwork standpoint. But the opposite argument is this is encouraging people to become part of the process and getting them registered when they get their driver's license.
Well, yesterday, Governor Jay Inslee reiterated his support for expanding Medicaid while he was sitting at your desk, in fact. By the way, did he leave it clean?
What he did, I tidied it up a little bit. And he said, I was allowed to tell you that I get a passing grade on that.
Okay. Well, anyway, this Medicaid expansion, if you're not familiar with it, it would allow Medicaid to cover more low-income people, and the federal government would cover this for the first few years. After that, it's up to states. There are some who feel the financial burden would be too large, but it's been a real priority for the governor. He says this is really obviously a win. Nothing's happened yet. What's the future for this?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, he was saying, you know, to the legislature, get this done, and I think he was probably thinking that he doesn't want it to get bound up in last-minute deal-making. But when I talked to Senate healthcare leadership this week, they basically said this is a budget decision. It's part of the budget. It will, at least initially, save money in the budget. I got the sense from Republicans that they're signaling that Medicaid expansion is going to happen, but Democrats are worried that it will get bound up and could fall victim to end-of-session deal-making.
Well, it is a budget issue, but not for this biennium, correct? It's going to be like 4 years out, but they're treating it like they're dealing with it now.
My understanding is that Medicaid, that they would book about $100 million in savings over the next 2 years by expanding Medicaid, because basically you're moving people off of state programs onto Medicaid, and under the expansion, 100% of the bill gets picked up. Now, of course, there's also these people that may come out of the woodwork who are currently eligible for Medicaid who are not on the program, and that's a 50-50 split, so that would cost the state some money.
Now, there's also this transportation bill. In one of its current forms, it would increase the gas tax by 10 cents over the next 5 years. Is that moving ahead, falling back, staying still? Where's it at?
It seemed to have a rough week. You know, there was this new Elway poll that showed very low support for higher gas tax, very low support, perhaps not surprising, for higher vehicle licensing fees. And not to mention, you've got in the headlines, you know, the 520 bridge pontoon cracks. That does not help the cause. So on the one hand, you've got business, labor, the environmental communities coming together, pushing legislators to do this, the governor billing it as a jobs package, but you don't have the public there yet. And that makes it very difficult, I think. And I would say after this week, it's much more unlikely, but I wouldn't call it dead yet.
Now, the Reproductive Parity Act has been a big priority for some. It didn't get through last year. It would require insurance companies that provide maternity benefits to also offer abortions. Where's that at?
That passed the House, and there are three bills that I think have the potential to kind of blow the place up, especially in the Senate and later in the session. That's one of them. The other is a flame retardant ban that has to do with children's mattresses and furniture. And the third is the universal background checks for guns. There's talk that perhaps Democrats would try to take control of the Senate floor back using what's called a ninth order procedural move to try to move those bills if the Senate leadership won't move them. But that would require that new majority coalition to crack. And so far, they haven't.
Bills in state legislatures often produce guffaws in the newsroom. We're just saying, oh, can you believe they're trying to do this? Can you believe you're trying to do that? You're obviously a connoisseur of this, being close by. What's the goofiest bill that you've heard about this week?
Well, you know, it's funny. Recently, obviously, the Supreme Court said that this two-thirds threshold for tax hikes is not constitutional. And I observed in the kind of hours after that that there weren't a lot of recriminations against the court. You know, I would have thought that immediately Tim Iman would have come out and said, overreach, you know, activist court. But we did see a proposal this week from some Republican senators to cut the court down, in size at least, from 9 justices to 5 justices. Apparently in the Constitution it says 5 justices, but early in the 1900s, the legislature expanded it to 9. So the proposal was cut them down to 5. They have to draw straws to see who stays. And the savings go to fund education because the court has said you got to fund education.
I love that touch. They'll draw straws by a reasonable decision on who stays. Draw straws.
Right.
Austin Jenkins, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Rob.
Austin Jenkins is the Olympia correspondent for the Northwest News Network.